I told Ryan, Ryan and I get together every week and we kind of pray through and plan out the set list. And I was like, man, we got to sing this one on Sunday. And it's just, man, I love it.
You were right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I thought that was God at first. I was like, praise the Lord. Scared me. Whew. So let me kind of do a disclaimer before I get started. First of all, I forgot to do this in the welcome. Can we say hello to our people in Colombia? Can we say hello to our Colombia people? So a family started inviting people over to watch the Second Chance service in their home, and now they have an upstairs campus and a downstairs campus, and now they're going to have to go to, like, two locations. So we've got two locations. And they said, we're going to have to split. I was like, no, don't say split. Say multiply. It's a much better, because I've been a part of some splits, if y'all know what I'm saying, and it's not fun. Anyway, when I say this, I'm 100% being honest with you, and I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm not looking for compliments. I want you to, this is how I honestly feel. I am, at best, an average speaker, and when I say that, I mean it, like when people tell me, oh, I listen to you all the time. I'm like, whoa, we got to get you out more. We got to get you some different podcasts. Because I feel like I've never, like in high school, when I had to get up and speak and do a book report, I remember taking a zero one time because I didn't want to speak in front of the class. I was like, I'll take a zero because I didn't care. And so when I speak and prepare a message, by the time I walk on this stage, I've invested at least 15 to 20 hours into that message because I want to own the material and I want to honor and respect your time because out of all the places that you could have gone today and all the things that you could have done, you chose to attend this church. And so when I walk up on stage, I don't want to ever just mail it in. I want to give you the absolute best that I can give. So with all that said, I've spent weeks preparing a message, and y'all, the outline for today, if you are a note taker and you love to fill in the blanks, you would have filled in more blanks today that like your hand would have fallen off and you would have been happy. It would have been amazing. But some stuff happened this week, and I'm going to get into it in the message. Some stuff happened this week, and so Friday night, God started talking to my heart and saying, you're going to have to like, do a different message. And I was like, well, what about this one? Because I think this one's really good. And he was like, it's not that good. And so yesterday morning, I got up, and I just got a pen and a Bible and a legal pad. And I said, okay, what do you want me to say? And I started writing stuff down. And so if you leave today going, that was average, you're probably right. Give us another shot next week, okay? Because I had somebody tell me this morning, I can't wait to hear the message. I was like, me too, because I haven't preached this one yet. I have preached it zero. So I preached it once in the last service, and it was, hopefully I've cleaned it up a little bit. So I thought the best way to start the message was just to be the survey the room, see what I'm working with today. Know what I've got to work with. So this is a hand-raising exercise. If you're charismatic, you're happy. If you're Presbyterian, you never raised your hand in church, and we're going to get you there, all right? Here we go. Raise your hand if you have never been on an airplane. You've never been. Oh, wow. Okay, a lot of. Keep them up. I want to see. Wow. Okay. You can put them down. How many of you have never been on an airplane because you're scared of airplanes? And I'm just, okay. I get that. It's a quick death. It's just like, boom, and then you're, Jesus! Got your little airbag on. You're hitting the ding, little stewardess bring you drinks and stuff. I guess that'd be great. How many have never lived without the internet? Meaning you have, all your life, you've always had access to the internet. Raise your hand. Okay. Well, young people in this room. No, raise your hand. Yeah, it's good. It's good. So for those of you with your hand raised, life without the internet was crazy. Like, we had a phone on the wall. It's called a landline. And it would ring. And we wouldn't know who was calling. And we would pick it up and say hello. And we were excited. Well, you remember how excited we used to be when the phone rang? Ah! Today, when the phone rings, this is what we do. I ain't got time. I ain't got time. For those of you that remember getting the internet, do you remember your first email address? Your first AOL? Yeah, I can't say that one in church. How many people have never owned a cat? You've never owned a cat. These are my people right here. I love y'all so much. There's a lot of things that we could say that we've done or we've never done, but this next one, I'm going to ask you intentionally to not raise your hand, and here's why. Because this next one I'm going to put up, if you raise your hand, this is what I know about you. You're incredibly dishonest, or you're desperate for attention, or you're high. All three are a possibility in this church, all right? So here's the question, and once again, I don't want you to raise your hand, because if you did, you wouldn't be telling the truth. How many have never been confused, frustrated, or angry in your walk with Jesus? See, all of us have been there. Some of us are there. If you walk with Jesus, it's not going to be easy. I was talking to a guy who said he was an atheist one time, and I blew his mind because he was like, I'm an atheist. I was like, man, I wish I could be an atheist. He said, what? I said, do you know how awesome it would be to believe that I came from nothing, that I am nothing, that nothing exists after this world, and so I have nothing to live for and nothing to be happy for and just nothing? Because walking with Jesus and carrying up your cross, that's tough work. I wish I had the faith to be an atheist. And he became a Christian, so it was good. So I could kind of flip the script on him. But if you've walked with Jesus for more than 5 minutes, there have been times where you've been confused because you thought you were doing it right, but then something bad happened or something didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. You're frustrated because, God, I've been doing the right thing. How could you let this happen to me? And then you've been downright angry with God. Like, I was angry with God when my mom died when I was 11 years old. I was flat out angry. So what do you do when this happens? Let me tell you what set this up. I got up on this stage, and we've been talking about going to Greenville, and we're launching, and yesterday, 2 weeks from yesterday, and then Friday, it all fell apart. Now, I'm not going to go into the details because here's the reason why. There's no sense in talking about good guys and bad guys. I'll just cover the 30,000-foot view and say that the tenants that we were leasing from did not fulfill their contract obligations to the point that it was going to hinder us from getting launched, and it was going to cost us a lot financially, way more than we had initially agreed to. And so we just said, you guys are in breach of contract, and we're going to, because you guys are in breach of contract, we are no longer obligated to the contract. And I wish I could tell you that when this happened on Friday, I wish I could tell you that I was like, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, glory to his name, hallelujah, amen. But that's not what came out of my mouth. Not really going to tell you what came out of my mouth. I will tell you. I was like, I told Shannon, I was like, I'm driving to Greenville. I'm gonna meet with these guys. I'm driving to Greenville. She said, baby, you can't. I said, oh, I can. She said, if you go to jail, I'll be just like the Apostle Paul. He had a prison ministry. Wrote some letters when he was in there. We still read them today. It's a bit of a stretch, but I was confused, and I was frustrated, or I was angry. But then I started thinking about it, because anytime something's happening in the church, it's just a snapshot, I believe, of what's happening in our individual lives. And so today's message isn't for everybody. Today's message is just for the people that you're confused, or you're frustrated, or you're even angry in regards to your walk with Jesus. I think, and by the way, if this isn't you today, go on Facebook or YouTube and like put a marker on this one, because you're going to need to come back to it. I'm going to talk to you out of the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to talk to you about Palm Sunday, It's really funny. I've never preached about Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday, but there's a first time for everything. And this is the passage of scripture I felt the Lord lead me to. So here we go. We're going to start in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Now, here's what's cool. I've been to Israel several times, and I've stood on the Mount of Olives. And as I've told you before, there are no olives on the Mount of Olives. It's super weird. There's just a bunch of graves. But anyway, if you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can literally see the entire city of Jerusalem. It is absolutely breathtaking and beautiful. And so the disciples are walking up and they see this city of Jerusalem. And let me tell you what these guys were thinking. They were thinking, it's about to happen. Because they thought that Jesus was going to go into the city. He was going to overthrow the Roman government. He was going to set up a Jewish government. He was going to be a political Messiah. And they knew that they weren't going to be like the man, but they were with the man. Like, he was the president, and they were all going to be like vice presidents. They were going to sit in the C-suite, CEO, CFO, COO, help me, Jesus. They were going to be they had all the positions. And I'm almost betting, now just give me a little license here to play. I'm almost betting they had already ordered their name tags. You ever got a, so I'm not talking about like the name tag you get when you work at a restaurant. I had one when I worked at Ryan's. So hello, my name is, and people walk up and go, hey, Perry, and I would be, oh, I'm wearing a name tag. Super weird. I'm talking about the kind of nameplate that you get on a desk. You ever had a desk and they just slide your name? I remember when I became a youth pastor, Griffin Baptist Church, they got me a Perry Noble, and under it said youth pastor, and I slid that thing in my little nameplate on my desk. I was like, but you know what I discovered? Those things slide out pretty quick in a Baptist church, right? So, but they probably found it, you know, they went online, found a good deal on Etsy, real creative. They were getting ordered. We got the nameplates coming in, and they were feeling good about this. They were feeling great because they were thinking that Jesus was going to do something for them that he never promised to do for them. See, sometimes we get mad, angry, and frustrated at God because he didn't fulfill a promise that he never made. We thought he made it. He didn't make it. So they're sitting there going, man, there's Jerusalem. We're going to run that place. We're going to get that name tag. It's going to be amazing. And then watch what happens next. This is great. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Now, we don't know which two, and it doesn't really matter, but watch what he told them to do. Go into that village over there. Now, stop. If you've read the story, you know what happens. And most of the time when we read a Bible story, we read it through the lens of we know what's going to happen. But imagine you're one of the two, and this is the first time you're hearing this. Okay? So maybe one of them's a note taker. Jesus is, you two, come here. Go into the village. Okay, let me write this down. Go into the village. What do we do when we get there? Jesus said, I'm glad you asked. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Okay? Gonna go to the donkey. Side note, no one has ever ridden the donkey. Untie it and bring it here. Steal the donkey. So you want me to, like, you want us to go, like, hijack the donkey and bring it here? I mean, so many problems with this. But you got to let Jesus finish, right? Because on the surface, it's like, is he asking them to steal? And watch this. He said, if anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it, and we'll return it soon. I don't know about you, but I would have needed, like, a little bit more than that. Because I'm taking this donkey. What are you doing? Oh, the Lord needs it. Try that with somebody's car today. Like, just randomly going, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to take your car because the Lord needs it, and he'll bring it back soon, right? It's a good way to get kneecapped in the South. I'm just throwing that out there for it's so awkward, but to me it stood out because if the two disciples don't take this small step of faith and walk in obedience, we don't celebrate Palm Sunday. The obedience of two unnamed disciples resulted in 2,000 years later, today we're in a room talking about the obedience of these men. Everything we do, everything God speaks to us, really does matter. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus called these disciples, when he called Matthew, Peter, James, John, and when he called us, this is what he said. He said, follow me. He didn't say believe in me. Because I've had people tell me, I believe in God. That's awesome. In fact, I was at a conference one time and I heard a guy say, I remember sitting there because I was like, whoo, I don't know about that. But this is what he said. He said, I wish everybody in the church could at least have demon theology. And I went, oh, snap, did he just say that? I'm not even going to write that down. That sounds weird. He said, let me explain. He said, a lot of people say they believe in God, but the Bible says in the book of James, you say that you believe in God, good. Even the demons believe and tremble. He said, if we could just get people in the church to believe and tremble, we would see an awakening. I was like, dear God, that is good. And I forgot who said it, but I remember what he said. The reason I bring that up is because sometimes God will ask us to take a small step of faith, and in our minds, it's not that big of a deal, but this is what God is saying. If you're not going to take the small steps, how am I going to trust you with the big steps? And this is our pushback. Well, God, here's the deal. I see what you want me to do. I see you want us to go get the donkey, but that's, can we just be honest? That's a bit uncomfortable. And don't we love our comfort? I said, don't we love our comfort? I was thinking about that this morning. Man, I got up this morning, took the dogs outside. We got one dog, he goes straight to the bathroom. We got another dog, he's got to just smell the air and kind of take it in, smell the trees. And I have said more things to that dog. I mean, listen, if you can go to hell for saying bad words, I am on the hell express, okay? Because I have been so angry with this dog. So I go outside, and I didn't realize it was cold last night. It was cold. So I came back in and took care of them, got a shower. When I got out of the shower, I went out. I got one of those little remote controls that I could start my truck, and it starts the heater up, and it runs for like 10 minutes. And I was like, man, it is awesome. Because y'all remember there used to be a day we bought an ice scraper for 99 cents. Remember that? You have to scrape an ice and you couldn't find it, so you had to get out the credit card. You got out the one you didn't use and you got the debit card and you're scratching stuff. We love our comfort. We love our comfort. But listen, when Jesus asks us to take a step, it's always going to be out of our comfort zone. Like maybe inviting somebody to church next week. It's Easter, but it's uncomfortable to ask somebody, hey, why don't you come sit with me at church next week? I was at Publix one time, and this is so weird, but this is just like confession. I was at Publix, trying to get some shopping done, trying to get in the store, get out. I'm in the produce section. Somebody's like, Pastor P. I'm like, oh, what? Because it either goes really good or really bad. There is no in between. And they came up and they kind of shared what they were going through, and it was a serious story. And I was like, man, I said, I'll be praying for you. And they said, Would you pray right now? I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all. I was so uncomfortable. Like, I started sweating, pitting out, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh. And it's so weird because I'm a pastor, right? I pray. If I go to somebody's house and they have a big gathering and it comes time to bless the food, who are they going to call on? Your boy. Because I guess my prayers get straight to, I don't know, but this is what I always do. All right, everybody bow your head. God, thanks for the food. Amen. I mean that with all my heart, but that's the prayer. And so, but I'm in Publix next to the tomatoes, and I'm like, okay, my head, God, here we are in Publix next to the tomatoes, and God, and I remember I said that prayer and I said amen, and I don't know what happened with this person's story, but this is what I know. I walked away feeling blessed. See, when God asks us to take a step, there's always a blessing in one way or another on the other side. And by the way, I've had people say, well, Pastor Pete, all that sounds great, but here's my question. I read in the Bible about how God does miracles, and why doesn't he do miracles today? When you ask that question, you're making a statement about yourself, not God. And here's why. Because the supernatural is on the other side of uncomfortable. If you want to see God work in the supernatural, we got to step into the uncomfortable. Because on the other side of uncomfortable, we see God work in supernatural ways. I had a woman this morning, and a gentleman say, the woman said, last week I was diagnosed with cancer and told I had a certain amount of time to live. I went back on Tuesday. They did the scan. They couldn't find the cancer. The doctor says it's gone. Now, let me tell you what that story does for some people. Most of the people clapped. Other people, you got angry or confused because you're like, he didn't do that for me. Why does God do some stuff for some people and some for others? I'm going to give you the answer. You might want to write this down. It's the answer that will set you free. Are you ready for it? Here we go. I don't know. And nobody does. I just know that he's God and he's good and he's got things figured out that I hadn't even thought of yet. So we got a story going on. They're going to hijack the donkey, right? And can you imagine the conversation on the way to get the donkey? What are we going to do? I don't know. What are they going to do? They start shooting. Well, you go right. Just put it in modern terms. So the Bible says the two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. And do you think they just walked up to it and were like, we are here in the name of Jesus? They were like, all right, just kind of sneak up on this colt. Tell you what, I'm going to cause a scene and you untie him. Hey! You know, and you got one untying. And they're like, probably nobody's going to say anything. Right? As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that coat? You ever been caught and you try, oh, what? And I don't know. I cannot believe you, Matthew. Why would you untie that coat? Like the kind of throwing somebody under the bus. And so one of them was like, hey, you remember that thing you wrote down? Remember that thing? Yeah, try that. Okay, let's try that. They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. One of them went back to their notes and they went, the Lord told us to tell you he needs it and he'll bring it back. And they went, cool. And they were like, yeah, that's what we thought. Anyway, I'm just saying the miracle in this is not that what Jesus told them to do. It was, let me set it up this way. How many of you play golf? You play golf. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to make fun of you. You play golf. Not a lot of golfers in here. That's fine. That's why there's so many happy people. I don't play golf. I've never played golf. I've tried to play golf. I cannot hit the ball. I cannot make contact. It's a hand-eye coordination thing. I can't. That is not me asking anybody in this room to take me golfing. I don't want to go golfing, fishing, or hunting. None of those things. But this is what I do know about golf. And if you're a golfer, you can agree with me on this. And I know it because I read it on Google. And if it's on Google, it's true. That's what Abraham Lincoln said, okay? So, see, that was a joke because Abraham Lincoln was in. Okay, never mind. So, when you're playing golf, one of the most important things in the game of golf is follow through. Am I correct, golfers? Thank you very much. I have one golfer going, yes, and everybody else is like, I don't know, because I suck. Okay. One of the most important things in golf is because if you just swing until you hit the ball and you stop, it's not going to be a very good game. Follow through matters in golf, and follow through matters in our walk with Jesus. Do you know, and listen, the only reason I know this is because I'm guilty of it. There are people in this room right now that during a service, we've made a commitment to Jesus. We've said, I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to stop doing this, or I'm going to confess this, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to do X, I promise Jesus, and then when we walk out those doors, we don't follow through. And then we get confused or angry and we're hurt. But God's going, just follow through on what you said you would do. See, the disciples didn't just listen to what Jesus said, they followed through. They didn't go do a Bible study on how many times the word donkey appears in the Old Testament and how to, they just did what Jesus told them to do. It's really simple. And so watch what happens. This is so good. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. This is so great. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. And there's, I can't go into that. Let's go to verse 9. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and people all around him were shouting, watch this, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you think the disciples thought this was an epic moment, yes or no? They were like, oh my gosh, this is gonna happen. But I saw something in this verse. In fact, I didn't even see it until the last service, so I wanted to share it here. Did anybody see the study this week that came out of the happiest countries to live in the world? And America wasn't even in the top 20. I'm like, how can... And I read some of the countries that were ahead of us, and I've been to some of those countries. I'm like, I wouldn't be happy living there. And you're like, why are we so unhappy? And I think there's a couple reasons. I think two of them, now these are not the only two reasons, they're not exclusive, I'm not picking on them, but I think two things we need to keep in mind. The media and social media. If you watch the news more than 15 minutes a day, you aren't happy, no matter which side that you watch, because both sides need to be put in timeout. In fact, no, not in the generation. They need to be taken behind the barn and worn out. And then I'm just, because, listen, I'm an equal, both sides just lie. And they freak us out. They get elected. Oh, my gosh. And then social media. Listen, this is why social media is so dangerous. And I'm talking from somebody who has been down this road. You post a picture, and you get a lot of likes. Or you write something, and you get a lot of likes. And that gives you an automatic dopamine hit. And I love me some dopamine hits, right? By the way, dopamine is a natural chemical in the brain. It's not drugs. I need to clarify that because things get taken out of context and put on the internet all the time. But right here, praise God, blessings on the one who... See, you know why Jesus was so content in everything he did? Because he did not allow his emotional well-being to be controlled by other people like we do on social media. And the reason we should not, listen, the reason we shouldn't trust other people with our emotions, don't miss this, is because those that deify will crucify. These same people that were saying blessings on the one who come in the name of the Lord, in less than a week were saying crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. See, Jesus, the reason he had joy is because he got his identity from his heavenly Father. And when we get connected with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can live for an audience of one. And I'm just trying to make some people happy, all right? So have you ever just met an angry person that are always angry? No, don't point. I didn't say point. I'm just saying that they're just always, anyway. So, verse 10 says, blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven. Don't miss that. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. See, just like the disciples, the people were trying to say, this guy's going to set us free politically. He's going to set up a Jewish government. We're going to have a Jewish kingdom. We're going to kick those Romans out. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have an earthly kingdom. But we all know that Jesus had more in store, right? When they came in, when Jesus came in, they were saying, Hosanna, 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 which if you break that down, that means please save us or save us now. Hosanna. And they were asking to be saved from the oppression of Rome. But Jesus wanted to save them and us from an empty life on earth and an eternal life in hell. He had more in store that he wanted to save us from, which brings me to the point that Jesus always wants to do more for us than we could ever imagine. The reason some people are angry or hurt or frustrated is because Jesus didn't do what we ask him for. But pause. If he would have given us what we asked for, it would have been so much less than he had planned for us. And he loves his people too much to let us settle. Some of you can pause right now, and you better and thank God that he didn't let you settle. He did not let you settle. So they roll into town, think they got the name tags delivered. No, probably gave them to Judas because that guy, you know. Anyway, they are like, man, this is awesome. And then the fertilizer hit the fan. I mean, have you ever seen a situation just unwind right in front of your eyes? Within a week, we saw Jesus have conflict with Jewish leaders. And by the way, Jesus, when we see him in pictures, he's always got this like feathered hair with some product. And his robe is white, and he's holding a lamb. And I can't follow that guy because I think I could take him in a fight. I can't follow a savior that I think I could be. I'm telling you, Jesus was a man. After this, Jesus goes in, and he clears the temple by himself. Peter's like, you need some help? Jesus is like, no, I got this. And he and then he started fight. Jesus started fights with religious people. If you don't believe me, check out Matthew chapter 23 sometime. I don't know what happened. I don't know what set him off. But it's called the seven woes of the Pharisees. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, he tells this group of people, he goes, you guys are blind guides. He said, in fact, you travel the world to win one convert. And then when you win that convert, you make them twice the sons of hell that you are. You are blind guides. You are snakes. You are vipers. And if you're standing in the crowd, you're like, this is not a good PR move, Jesus. You're going to get canceled. But Jesus' biggest fight was with the religious leaders. So you got the conflict with the Jewish leaders, and then Jesus gets arrested. And like, if you've ever been arrested, don't feel ashamed. Just tell, you know, I was just trying to be like Jesus and got arrested. I'm just, some of y'all, that won't work because Jesus didn't get arrested for that, but just trying to connect with my people. Then he got put on trial, and this is going to be so hard to believe. But the trial he got put on, it's crazy. You're going to have to stretch with me to believe this, but 2,000 years ago, there was actually a judicial system that was set up in favor of certain people and not in favor of other people. And Jesus was in the group that it was not in favor of, and so he got put on trial, and there were so many rules, like biblical rules, broken in his trial. And everybody's thinking, well, maybe, man, we can get him a good attorney and get him out of this. But after the trial, he got beaten. And that sucked. To get beaten by a cat of nine tails. It was a Roman whip. It had nine straps of leather on it. It had a handle with nine straps of leather. Interwoven in the leather were pieces of bone and glass and rock. Typically, you get hit 20 times on the back, 19 times in the front, and most people didn't survive the beating because they would bleed out. His skin just hanging like ribbons. And Jesus survived the beating because he had to go to the cross. And he was crucified. Like he died on a Roman cross. And this was one of the worst ways a person could die. It was grotesque. And then he was buried. And when they buried him, like, we can celebrate because we kind of know the end of the story. But these guys didn't know. They didn't go, all right, bury him. Let's go calm down. Go to the pub, have a drink. We'll come back in a couple days. And then we can stand outside the tomb and start counting backwards from 10. 10, 9, start that smoke machine. 8, 7, lower the angel. 6, nobody was doing that. When they buried him, they thought it was over. So if you're one of the disciples and you followed Jesus for 3 years and you finally get to Jerusalem, you finally think you're going to get a place at the table with your name tag and everything's going to happen, and then you see this happen, how do you think the disciples felt? I'll tell you exactly how they felt. They felt confused and frustrated and angry. And probably were asking the question, did we just waste our life following this man? We've all been there. And the reason it's so tense in the room right now is because some of us are there. What's beautiful is this is not where the story ends. I just kept reading. God was like, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Because I was like, that's a depressing place to end, Lord. Mark 16, verse 1. Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Because you know why they did that? Because they thought he was dead. You know why they thought he was dead? Because dead people stay dead. None of us have ever been to a funeral. Burying Frank. None of us ever sat there and said, it's all right. Frank said he'd see us again in 3 days. Nobody in this room would go, that is awesome. They would be like, oh my God, you're on drugs again. Dead people tend to stay dead. Nobody was, even though Jesus said on 5 separate occasions, they're going to crucify me, they're going to bury me, but I'm going to come back. That's why I follow Jesus. I tell people all the time, that's why I follow Jesus. It's not because of what he taught, it's because of what he did. Because anybody that can predict and then pull off their own death, burial, and resurrection, that's my guy. Because, listen, if you follow Jesus because of what he said, you got to understand the only reason what he said is valid is because of what he did, the resurrection. The resurrection is the reason that we can stand in faith. Because if the resurrection don't happen, then none of what he said is true. But because of the resurrection, we can believe he really is the way and the truth. And I'm so pumped. I'll talk about it next week. Resurrection Sunday. Some of y'all are like, he's going to talk about the resurrection again. Well, it's Easter. Verse 2, watch this. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise. Let me address this because somebody asks every year, when's Second Chance going to have a sunrise service? This year, listen to me. I was a part of a Baptist church that did a sunrise service for 6 years in a row. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all. God wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there. The Holy Spirit wasn't there. The only reason people were there is we bought them country ham biscuits from Hardee's. We always tell people, we are not the church. You individually are the church. So if you want a sunrise service this Easter, this year on Easter Sunday morning, walk out your front door, watch the sunrise, and go, thank you, Jesus. That's our sunrise service. You're welcome. Make sure. Now watch this. They went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Now, on the surface, we go, well, why would they ask that question? Answer, they expected the stone to be rolled in front of the tomb. And here's what's funny as we read the story. Don't miss this, because this is going to hit. They were worried about a situation that wasn't even going to happen. They were worried about something that Jesus had already taken care of. They just weren't aware of it yet. And with that in mind, there are some people in this room or watching online right now. This has been a week of worry for you. Right now, you're worried, you're freaked out, you're stressed out over a situation that Jesus has already handled. And when you can't see what is happening, you got to understand who is in control. And when we can focus on the who over the what, we can celebrate. Man, that'd make a Methodist say amen right there, all right? Watch this, verse 4. But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. So Jesus was like, all right, took care of that. So they were naturally curious. Verse 5 says, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting at the right side. The women were shocked. Thanks for that bit of information, Mark. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. And let me pause right here. Remember the disciples that thought, we're going to get to sit at the table? We're going to get the name tag? We're going to get the name plate? When Jesus got arrested, what did all of them do? They ran. I don't know if you've ever been abandoned in the city. We got your back. We got your back. We got your back. Oh, shoot. I mean, like as soon as the cops showed up, they were gone, basically. They ran. And do you think that the disciples expected Jesus to rise from the dead? No. But after they found out Jesus rose from the dead, do you think they thought that maybe Jesus was mad at them? They probably thought, man, he's ticked. We ran. He pulled off that resurrection thing. We didn't think that was real. We just thought it was a joke. We didn't know. But watch this. Now go tell his disciples, including Peter. Don't you love that? Especially Peter, because we know he denied 3 times. He's famous for his denials. That Jesus, don't miss this, is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. The angel told the women to tell the disciples, go back to the place where you met him for the first time, because he's going to be there. And he still got great plans for your life. In fact, some of you need to hear this today, that Jesus hasn't given up on you. He hasn't. I know it might feel like it. That's how I felt on Friday. I was like, what in the world is supposed to go to Greenville? I'm so angry and I'm so upset and I'm so frustrated. But then I thought about something. I'll push the pause button there real quick. Let's go back to the disciples and the name tag. Jesus is with them. He's commissioning them. And this didn't happen, but let's pretend it did. Let's say that one of them was like, what do we do with all these name tags we ordered from Etsy? I don't think we can return these. And, that's Judas. We can't return that one. I definitely can't return that one. And Jesus is like, you can just hold on to those. Because he had something bigger in mind. There's a guy named John. He was one of the disciples. He followed Jesus. He wrote the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, he's describing this place called heaven. And y'all, this place sounds amazing. No sickness, no sorrow, no CNN or Fox News, no death, no destruction, no starvation, just celebration. But think about the names of the apostles. Because this is what John wrote in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jesus was like, you guys are thinking about a name tag at a table, and I'm thinking about your name being written on a foundation stone in heaven. He always wants more for us than we could ever imagine. So how do we break that grip of worry and anger and fear and frustration that is a very real thing in our lives? And it comes back to that word, gratitude. So Friday afternoon, when I found out all that was going on, I was just frustrated. And don't you love it how God, this is how the Holy Spirit works with me. He never yells. He never screams. As I've told you often, it's more like, I started thinking, actually, I felt God speaking to me. When's the last time I was unfaithful to this church? Remember when you guys didn't think you were going to get the offices downtown so you could broadcast, and you got them? And remember when the deal on the liquor store where we used to meet, the place is now a liquor store, that deal fell through 3 times. Remember on the 3rd time, you got that place? Remember when COVID and everybody said it was the end of the church, but actually it was the springboard that launched you guys? Remember when you thought you would never get in this building and you got this building? And we remember when you thought you'd never own this building and now our church owns this property? God was like, when's the last time? And so instead of focusing on what we don't have, I really did. I had to just stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for being so faithful. But then I thought, if that's what's going on in our church, that's what's probably going on in so many individual lives in this room. I can't say a thing that'll take your worry away. I can't do a thing about your fear or your anger or your frustration or your doubt, but you know what I can do? I can encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude today. What would happen if you just stopped and instead of focusing on what you do have, thank God. God, I thank him for your salvation. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his love. Thank him for the miracles you have gotten to see. Thank you for the healing he has done in your life. Thank you for the healing he's going to do, because when we start thanking God for what he has done, we focus on what he is going to do, and it literally changes us from the inside out. So Jesus, thank you today for your mercy, and thank you for your grace, and thank you for your love, and thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the fact that you pursue us even when we don't pursue you. Thank you for the fact that you love us even when we didn't even love ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you have not given up on us. Thank you, Jesus, that you still have plans for us. Thank you, Jesus, that there's not a person in this room that you would cast away if they would just come to you today. Father, thank you that in your kingdom, the best is always yet to come. May we sing with hearts filled with gratitude today, knowing that the best really is yet to come. Jesus, I thank you that this church is in your hands. And Greenville's going to happen, and it's going to happen in your time. And God, we just thank you in advance for the miracles that you're going to do on behalf of our church. But even more than that, God, I want to pray for every individual in this room watching online right now. Consumed by fear, worry, anger, frustration, God, that they would just know that you really do have the whole world in your hands. And right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just take that worry and that fear, just offer it up to Jesus right now. Jesus, take this from me. I want to surrender this to you. I want to give this to you. And then when you give it to him, don't take it back. Give it to him. And maybe you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ. You know, the whole thing I went through, that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he did that for you. He did that for you so you could be forgiven of sin, live a life that is beyond your imagination this side of heaven, and then one day when you die, you get to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And if you've never prayed to receive Christ, today's the day. Today's the day. And you know today's the day that you need to pray to receive Christ. So this morning, right now, I want to invite you to ask Christ into your life. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat it after me out loud. We do it out loud here at Second Chance because I want you to hear you say these words. But you're not going to say it out loud alone, because our entire Second Chance family is going to say this prayer out loud with you. So if you're here today and you want to pray to receive Christ, you pray this with me. And Second Chance family, let's make sure they're not praying it alone. Say, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior.
I believe you died on the cross.
And you rose from the grave to
pay for my sins.
And right now, Jesus,
I declare you as Lord.
Come into my life and take over.
In Jesus' name I pray.
With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just prayed that prayer, you just made the best decision of your entire life. And before you leave today, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So do me a favor right now. If you just prayed to receive Christ, would you do me a favor and hold your hand up in the air? Just hold it straight up. Amen. That was fast. Amen. Keep them up. Keep them up. Both hands. That is awesome. Anybody else? Keep them up. Keep them up. I want to make sure I see every hand because I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to miss anybody. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Father, I want to thank you today that you have saved people. There's never been a Sunday, Jesus, that you didn't save people. And today, God, we rejoice because the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. God, I thank you for salvation. I pray that every person that raised their hand would walk out of this place feeling a sense of peace they've never experienced in their life. And for all of us, Jesus, may we walk out of this place today knowing that resurrection power literally lives inside of us, which means the verse is true. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people agree by saying amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Me too. I hope y'all have a great week, and we'll see y'all next week for Easter.